Good morning. It's 14th of June. Our New Testament reading today is 2 Peter chapters 1 and 2. I'm going to read to you from Brother Cyril Tennant's book, Partakers of the Divine Nature. This book is a meditation on the Sermon on the Mount, but Brother Cyril opens it by quoting from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. I shall read you that verse first. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Brother Cyril writes, there are two ways of life which are as far apart as the poles, or, to use the words of Scripture, one is as high above the other as the heavens are above the earth. The one is indicated by the remarkable promise which Peter records, that we might be partakers of the divine nature, and the other that from which we shall then have escaped, the corruption that is in the world through lust. The former is God's way of life. The latter is the life which is common to all men, and the link between them is the gospel, the exceeding great and precious promises. The distinction made by Peter was not new. Jesus had already spoken of it in his celebrated teaching on the mountain. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. It must be understood from the outset that there can be no natural transition from one to the other. Only by the miracle of salvation can a change be made. It is a fallacy of philosophy which states that man has some basic goodness which can be developed. Jesus exposes the fallacy in simple but powerful words. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Rebirth, not restoration, was his message. First make the tree good, and then it will produce good fruit. In short, we must be born again. But since none can beget himself, the process had to be started by God. This is the wonder of the gospel. God has already set the process in motion. He has made great and precious promises, and has provided the means whereby man can escape from corruption to become partaker of the divine nature. In writing of great and precious promises, Peter obviously had in mind the Old Testament scriptures, where many remarkable prophecies are written. Some speak of the destiny of nations, and others of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to take over the government of the world and to rule in righteousness from a throne in Jerusalem. But it is not these promises to which Peter draws our attention. The kingdoms of the earth will be shaken. Christ will rule the world in righteousness. But the great and precious promises to which Peter makes reference are those which reveal God's intention to fill the world with a people who share his nature. The political aspect of the kingdom of God, though real and necessary, is quite secondary to the change of heart essential for each of its subjects. The gospel is about this change. It is God's call to repentance, and reveals the stages through which this miraculous change will take place in believers. It also warns of the end of those who spurn God's offer. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Thank you for listening.